the book of James. Today we begin a new series. A series entitled Practical Faith. And when we say practical faith, I want you to understand from the very beginning what we're talking about. It's faith that you use every day. Okay? You may say, I go to church. So what? What difference does that make? You claim Jesus is Lord. So what? What difference does it make? You pray. So what? What difference does it make? The point being, this book is about putting into practice what you say you believe. Okay? This book is about living what you claim to be. Let's stand as we look at James chapter 1, verse 1. Title of the message today, Faith Tested. Verse 1 says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us a wonderful day. This kind of worship you with. Praise you, the great God you are. Lord, I ask you to do with Brother Doug. Give him a spirit of boldness to preach what you lay on his heart. Lord, if there's lost here today, if there's ones that need to join us, the people who dedicate their lives, if you call on someone to preach, let them surrender to you today, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. You may be seated. Today I want to take just a moment and ask you the question, where are you? Where are you in life? What's going on around you? And as I look and I begin to look in the eyes of those here today, I suspicion that there are those today who are fighting battles. Some of you, it may be financial. Others, it may be marital, family, children. Others, it may be work, whatever the case. There are no doubt a lot of people here, day to day, are fighting battles. Even to the point that sometimes you just feel like you're barely hanging on. You ever been there? Amen. That if one more thing happens, I can't hang on anymore. Well, it's when you get at that spot or that position in life that you begin to ask yourself, what in the world is happening to me? What is happening? Well, in most of the cases, if you are a child of God, are you a child of God? You belong to Jesus Christ, right? If you are a child of God, most cases when you get to that point, when you say, what's happening to me? The answer is, you are being tested. All right? Life full of them. James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or tests, is literally what that word means. And I like the way he phrased it when he said fall. That word fall, it means to come into a situation accidentally. As a matter of fact, that word was used to describe a ship that had run aground on a reef. or to describe a man who was had fell among robbers or thieves. It's one of those that you didn't ask for it, you didn't desire it, you did not plan for it, but it happened anyway. And you found yourself in a position where life's tough. You may be in that position today where somebody has hurt your feelings. Maybe in church, maybe in your family, maybe at work. You may be dealing with family crisis. You may be dealing with a boss who is unreasonable. You may be dealing with employees. Maybe you're the boss and it's the employees that are unreasonable. But I want you to understand, if you truly are a child of God and you get to that point where you're saying, I don't know if I can do this anymore, you need to back up and realize you are being tested. And what is going on is Satan is attacking you. And his desire is to bring you to that point where you say, I give up. And I've seen people come to that point. I quit. I give up. I can't take this anymore. Listen, you may have to fall into various temptations or various trials, but I want to tell you what you do not have to do. You do not have to fall out of fellowship with God. You do not. You just got to know what's going on. And what's going on is you're undoubtedly under attack by Satan. So, Brother Doug, what do I do? I have the answer. Pass the test. Pass the test. And it's very important that you pass the test. Why? Because if you fail, you will see this test again. You will. It's much like repeating the same grade in school. Now, I know, if you do not fulfill the requirements, you can bet it's going to happen again. I don't know how many times in ministry I've counseled with people and they say, Brother Doug, I do not understand why this sort of thing always happens to me. And I've never been able to say it, but I've thought it time and time again. Pass the test. Pass the test. Quit whining and pass the test. Here's what's going on. If you're seeing that same test over and over, and that same test is just destroying your life over and over, Satan's attacking you. He has found your weak spot. Okay? And what Satan does when he finds your weak spot is he camps out there and refuses to move. I mean, when he knows that you have a temper, none of us have a temper, right? When he knows that you'll let your temper go, he'll camp out at that spot that makes you explode. When he knows you have a big mouth, none of us have a big mouth, right? He'll camp out at that spot that will repeatedly allow you to say things that you shouldn't say. Listen, it's just much easier to pass the test and move on to the next thing. And there is joy when you pass the test. Israel spent 40 years failing the test, wandering in the wilderness. They kind of pretty much started out in Exodus chapter 16. God told Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven that I may test the children of Israel. And they were supposed to go out and they were supposed to pick up just enough bread every morning for that day. God was testing. Do you remember what happened? They were not supposed to keep any overnight. Don't save it. You just rely on God to provide every day. And so they go out and they begin to gather. And of course they gathered too much and they left some overnight. The next morning it stank. God said, what is wrong with you? Don't you understand? You're being tested. Satan is tempting you, and it wasn't God that was doing the tempting, it was Satan. Started in the Garden of Eden, you know, challenging what God said, continuing here with the children of Israel. On the Sabbath or the day before the Sabbath. They were supposed to gather enough for the Sabbath because God wasn't going to rain bread on the Sabbath. They were supposed to gather enough for 2 days on that day. Guess what? They didn't do that either. You failed the test again. You look at the history of Israel. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Exodus 32, they built a golden calf. Throughout their relationship with God, they whined, they complained, they bellyached, and they rebelled. And it was a continual failure. One after the other. Save yourself some grief. Determine in the very beginning, I will pass this test. Because I will be honest with you, attitude's half the battle. Satan cannot win. My God is more powerful than the circumstance that I'm in. I will pass this test. The next question you're going to ask, why is it happening to me? Not just what's happening to me, but why is it happening to me? And the first thing I would recommend is you've got to recognize or understand your situation. You've got to identify and realize God is actually doing something. Yes, you're under attack by Satan, and Satan intends to destroy you. But I promise you this, God is working. Do you have kids that's out of control, and you don't know how to get control? God is working. Do you have a marriage that's just on the edge and it's about to... Listen, hang in there. God is working. I promise you, God is working if you're His child. Okay? And what God is doing is, Romans 8:28. And we know. Let's read this together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Do you understand that? I mean, you have to know, understand, discern that God is actually working things for your good. And you may say, Brother Doug, it doesn't feel like God is working for my good. He is. He is. How do you know? Because the Bible says it. And God never lied. It may not be fun. It may be difficult. But beloved, I promise you, it will be beneficial for you. Job comes to my mind as you go read the book of Job. It starts out, Job's got everything. He's got a wonderful family. He's rich. He has houses. He has livestock. He has everything. Good health. And God, and Satan begins to, one by one, take everything away. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost everything. And finally, he lost his health. He's this man sitting, covered in balls and ashes. And he had to think, why is this happening to me? But in Job 42:12 it says, now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. You see, God was allowing Job to be tested. The point of the test is that you pass to the glory of God. All right? The point of the test is not that you lose your cool. The point of the test is not that you quit. Not that you drop out of church. It's not that you just... No, the point of the test is that you passed. And rest assured that God is working. Here's what God is doing, okay? He says in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. That word patience means endurance, perseverance, steadfastness, the capacity to continue. If there's one thing that's needed in churches today, it's the ability of the children of God to keep on keeping on, even in adverse situations, even when it's hard. That's why he said, let patience have its perfect work. Let's face it, the majority of us have an endurance problem. It's too easy to quit. I mean, that's why half marriages end in divorce. That's why churches are so fickle. And the church roles change so much. Well, I'll just quit. The preacher preached something I didn't like. I'll just quit. Somebody said something to hurt my feelings. I'll just quit. Listen, you may have to move from one church to another because of doctrinal issues, but you should never leave a church because you're mad. Never. If the church is not doctrinal sound, get out. Find one that is. All right? If you can't worship at a church, you know, get out. Find where you can worship. But don't leave a church because you're mad. If you do, you fail the test. I mean, let's face it, everybody gets mad every once in a while. Y'all know I get a little irritated at y'all sometimes. I do. I don't confess that very often. Huh? But why? Why? Because y'all are human. And I know this is hard to believe, but every once in a while somebody gets a little aggravated at me. Most of the time it's a pastor's wife. But praise God that she's learned how to endure. You see, what I want you to get is that, man, it's tough sometimes. Boy, those kids sometimes are out of control. You keep pressing forward. Sometimes your spouse and that marriage pushes you to the edge and you think you can't hang on anymore. Hang on. Because God is working. Okay? Church, you're getting, you know, you may be teaching and you're just getting so tired. You prepare every week and your students don't show up. And so, you know, what's the point? I'm going to throw up my hands quick. No. Keep on. Keep on. Because God is working. I was in ministry, been in ministry for a long, long time. But right after I first joined the Air Force, I was in Columbus, Mississippi. And I was serving at a church called Hatley Missionary Baptist Church in Hatley, Mississippi. And they had called me to be their music director. So I was the music man there, and I got to notice that there was some waves in the church. It wasn't really against me. It was just, you know how we do sometimes. We get to yah-yahing back and forth, and you know. I got to noticing that, and I went to the pastor, and I said, you know, Brother Dull, Conan Dull was his name. Brother Dull, I just think I need to quit. He said, what? Said, Brother, I just need to quit. He said, why? And I said, well, this is that, and you know. And some people are not happy, and I just think it's best if I quit. He said, Doug, if you quit, you'll be quitting ministry for the rest of your life. First thing you need to learn how to do is to stick it out. And you know what? He was right. I mean, that was a little molehill compared to some of the mountains I've stuck out through the last 30 years. But I praise God for it. I praise God for that advice. And I want to tell you the same thing. Right? You don't quit. You don't quit. Wherever you are, whether it's raising children, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in church work, whether it's your testimony at work, do not quit. Because once you quit, it'll be easier for you to quit next time. Once you bend, it'll be a little easier to bend next time. And the first thing you know, you'll not be standing for anything. Don't you do it. We are winners. Let me tell you something about my Savior. My Savior went to a cross. He was brutally beaten. He was mocked. He was made fun of. He carried his cross to a hill called Golgotha. He got there. They nailed his hands and his feet to that cross. They lifted that cross up where he hung. And he prayed such prayers as, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he hung there and suffered for hours until he finally came to the point where he said, "It is finished." And because he said, "It is finished," I have salvation today. He saw it through. It was tough, but God was working. It was not it was disappointing. It was discouraging. But Jesus saw it through to the end. Don't you quit because of a little test. Matter of fact, don't quit because of a big test. You know what's happening to you. You know why it's happening to you. Now you've got to decide, how do you respond? How do you respond? First and foremost, you respond. You don't react. Okay? You respond. You do not react. There's a difference. You see, reacting, something you do out of surprise and unpreparedness. Reacting's what you do when you're driving down the road and a deer runs out in front of you. If you react and that deer runs out in front of you, you swerve off the road, you go into the embankment, you turn your car over, and you sometimes die. But when that deer steps out in front of you, if you respond, you see him, you evaluate. I've either got to hit the deer, slow down, hit the brake, do something. But I'm not going to run off the road and kill myself. That's not the option. That's the difference between reacting and responding. You see, responding is when you answer or reply or counter the situation. All right? And it implies thought, consideration. You keep your wits about you. I still think, and you'll never convince me otherwise, the best response to any circumstance and situation is when you can back up and take a look at it and think about it for a little while. That's why when you come to me as a pastor, and you may be in a panic, and I'll say, "Well, let's just think about this for a day or two." Why? Because I've made some big mess ups by reacting. But I've also found that if I respond, my response is prayer, consideration, love, the outcome is way, way different. That's the first thing. You've got to quit reacting and start responding. Keep your wits. Be logical. Don't fall apart. Don't panic. God is not surprised. You realize you may be surprised by a situation, but God is not. Okay? He knew it was coming. He saw it coming. He's smart enough. He knows how it's going to end. God's never surprised, even though you may be. Respond. Do not react. Rejoice. Don't enjoy. I don't think I have to tell you this one, do I? But he said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Let's be realistic. All right? I see people all the time. My life's a wreck. Things are falling apart. Kids are out of control. I'm broke and my job is, I've been laid off, and on and on. And I say, but I sure am happy. No, we don't do that, do we? Why? Because there are some things that you can't enjoy, that you cannot enjoy. However, you can find joy in every situation as a child of God. All right? When he said count it all joy, that word count has two meanings. All right? It means to decide after weighing the facts. Back up. Remember where we were a while ago? Back up and weigh the facts. You're going to have to make a judgment call here in a minute. That's the first definition. The second definition of count is to lead, to rule, or to supervise. Here's where it gets good. Are you ready? You back up, you evaluate the situation, and then you supervise yourself and say, I'm not going to let this beat me. I'm going to rule over my own spirit and my response to this situation. Right? When God made you, when He saved you, He gave you a promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And it does not matter where you find yourself today, your Savior Jesus Christ is there with you. I mean, you may try to shut Him out and you may have turned your back on Him, but I promise you, He has not turned His back on you. All right? So, what can you do? You can rejoice in the presence of Jesus wherever you are. Does it make sense? Rejoice in the presence of Jesus wherever you are. I go back to Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. The disciples had been told, no more, there be no more preaching this Jesus. All right? We don't care what you do, but don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And it says, and they agreed with Him. And when they had called for His apostles and beaten them. Now imagine this. They had beaten them. They didn't have police brutality back then. They whooped them. Or whipped them. I'm a country boy. We whooped people back in my day, okay? They whipped them. They had beaten them and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. You know how they responded? Oh, Lord, why is this happening to me? God, get me out of this. Lord, deliver me from this turmoil. Deliver me from this trial. Lord, I can't take this. That's not how they responded. You know what they... Verse 41. So they departed the presence of the council, that was the Sanhedrin, rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. You know what? I'm not suggesting that, boy, these trials are fun, because they're not. I'm not suggesting that they're easy, because they're not. But I am suggesting you want to put Satan on run. You start praising the Lord no matter what you're facing. Okay? Is life hard? You got financial trouble? Praise the Lord. That He's not left you nor forsaken you. Marriage being challenged? Praise the Lord, because He can put it back together. That no matter, kids out of control, praise the Lord, because God is the God of putting kids back on the right track. Here's what attitude's everything. And I want to tell you, it's all too easy to get all depressed, bow your head. And I'll be honest with you, I've had people say, oh, Brother Doug, you're always so positive and you've got a smile. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm going to tell you what I am. I do choose to rejoice. It is a choice that I make. My circumstance does not choose for me. All right? And there are times I know you'll catch Brother Doug frowning and kind of moping. I understand we all get there. But there's joy wherever you are, no matter what you're facing. We go on to the last point. How do I respond? Number one, respond, don't react. Number two, rejoice, no matter where you are. You don't have to enjoy it, but you do need to rejoice. Finally, request help. Request help. I love the last part of the text that we read. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask God who gives to all men liberally. You know what that word liberally means? It means generously. It's like if you were to say, Brother Doug, I'm broke. I need a loan. Could you give me $10? And I pull out my billfold. I said, I sure can. Here's a 20. Keep the change. You see, God knows you can't do this by yourself. He knows you can't raise children by yourself or be a good Sunday school teacher or be a good church member by yourself. He knows that you can't be a good husband or wife by yourself. He knows all that. Right? That's why He says, ask Me. You see, what we've got to learn is God knows that you can't do this by yourself, but we often do not realize that we can't do this by ourselves. And so we get on and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix this. And men are real good at it. Yeah? Crisis happens. Okay, this is what we're going to do and it's going to be fixed. And it's usually not. But you ask God, God, give me the answer. How do I respond where I am? And His answer sometimes is in His Word. You know what? What's really cool is we face these tests, but it's an open book test. Just open the book. The answer's there. Now I give you some insight. You may not like the answer. The answer may say, endure. The answer may be, suck it up, buttercup. The answer may be something. But the answer's there. Don't doubt the wisdom of God. You see, we go on and we read here. It says, but let him ask in faith. With no doubting, verse 6. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What in the world is this talking about? Well, let's say you've got marriage issues. And you go over here to the book of Ephesians and read about how husbands, you're supposed to love your wives as Christ has loved the church. Well, that's a pretty big thing. Okay, you've got the answer. That's God's answer. What are you going to do with it? If you decide to go a different direction, do not expect God to bless it and provide the solution. All right? For example, raising children. You should never beat a child. However, the Bible says, use the rod, you'll not kill him. What's it? It's talking about discipline. A little spat on the bottom will go a long way. Okay? We've come up with ideas. Oh, you know, we're living in the modern age. We know better ways. I don't believe you should ever spank a child. Yeah, keep on believing that and see how they grow up. We now live in a society which has no respect for authority. We live in a society that our kids are never wrong. And it's all because I don't think you should spank a kid anymore and discipline a kid. And so our kids grow up with no concept that there are consequences for their bad decisions. Didn't really mean to preach about kids, but you see my point. God says, here's how you do it. And we say, oh, we've got a better way. No, what you are is unstable in all your ways. Either you believe God or you do not. But don't spew out of your mouth, oh, I trust God, and then not live according to what God says in His Word. Something doesn't match. You see, God is not a drive-through window where we order peace and safety and say, God, it's your responsibility to give me what I need. And then when He gives us what we need through His Word, we back up and say, oh, that's just old-fashioned stuff. No, it's not. That is the handbook for life. He created us. He knows how we need to conduct this life for joy and happiness. I truly believe that most Christians do not get it today. And I say this lovingly, but we think God is this guy in the sky who's just supposed to deal out whatever we want and whatever we think we need. It's not. God is a greater God than that. He is the creator, sustainer, and controller of this universe. God does not need you. You need God. Okay? The glory of a loving God is that He has a heart for you and a love for you. He's given you everything that you need to have a life of rejoicing, a life of personal relationship with Him, a life worth living. Are you living it? Number one, are you a child of God? Listen to me. Here's how life plays out. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is no in-between place. The only way to go to heaven is Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. The life of Jesus was a life that was given upon a cross called Calvary to pay for your sin so that you could have a personal relationship with God. Are you saved? If not, why not today? The Bible says if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. The move is yours. Number two. Second thing. Are you fighting the battles? Or are you folding? You know, y'all know I'm an old-fashioned guy. I like the old war movies. Audie Murphy. Gary Cooper and Sergeant York. That's good stuff. John Wayne and the Flying Leathernecks. That's when they made good movies. I don't care what you say. But we're living in an age that people don't want to fight anymore. We just fold. Satan attacks and we just crumble. And oh, I'm beat up. Listen, we serve a greater God than that. All right? Jesus Christ came off the cross of Calvary victorious over death, hell, and the grave. They buried Him, but that grave couldn't hold Him. And because He lives, we too shall live. And you know what? We need to live like we are winners. Not sissies. Right? Fight the battle. Hang in there. Endure to the glory of our great God. All right? Maybe you're here today and you're in the midst of the battle and bombs are going off everywhere around you. And you say, Brother Doug, I don't know how to fight this battle. Get on your knees. Get on your knees. Ask. The altar's open. God said, if you'll just ask, man, I'll give you what you need. Just ask me. Maybe you're here today and you have another spiritual need that hasn't been addressed in this message. Now's the point. The invitation. It's time for you to do business with God. I love you. And I pray. My prayer for you today is that you'll listen to God. You'll listen to the Holy Spirit. And that you'll respond as the Spirit directs. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder that we're in a battle here. And there are some, Lord, that are in the middle of the battle. Some that are hurting, some that are fighting, some that are wounded, and they're just dealing, Lord, with the battle. And Lord, oh, I pray for Your wisdom in their life. I pray that You'll provide the strength that they need to overcome Satan. I pray for those, Lord, in this service who have let go, who have quit. They're sitting in corners, Lord, just nursing their wounds. Father, I pray that You'll heal them. Bring them back into the battle. I pray for all those present today. Father, we know that we win. We've read the end of the book. We know that Jesus comes back in victory and power and great glory. Help us to live like it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.